title of the message is the Lowdown Human Earthquake. The Lowdown Human Earthquake. And that comes from Greek, this title. And it's talking about the Apostle Paul. This is what they called him. The Lowdown, base fellow, the diseased fellow, the pestilence fellow, the pest. But it means more than that. It means the lowest type of person that you can think of that is a disease to society. This guy is a disease. He's a canker, a gangrene to society. Now let's go in Luke. I'll get it right in a minute. Can't even talk straight. That's part of it too, see. Acts the 24th chapter. And after five days, the high priest Ananias came down with some elders with a certain attorney named Tertullus. All right? Annas, you know. That means praise, high lifted of Jehovah. And Tertullus means the third one. And he's coming down with some elders. Who are these elders? Sanhedrin. They're part of the Sanhedrin court. So they come down. Now, they already tried to kill him, didn't they? They've already tried to kill the Apostle Paul. Murder. What did they do to Jesus? These are religious people. They murdered Jesus, didn't they? They're guilty of murder. That's what the Pontius Pilate said. You people are murderers. His blood is not upon me. And he washed his hands and said, let his blood be upon us and our children. And it has been. And a certain attorney named Tertullus brought charges to the governor against Paul. He's the consulare, this lawyer. And after Paul had been summoned, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying to the governor, this tribune, since we have through you attained much peace, and since your providence, reforms are being carried out for this nation. Now, what do you do when you get up and present your case before a judge? You butter him up. He's buttering him up. He's and what do you say? Your Honor. Excellent. And whether honorable or not, you know, I mean, Your Honor, Your Excellency. That's what he's doing. He's really buttering this guy up. We acknowledge this in every way and everywhere, most excellent Felix. Most excellent Felix. Do you remember what Felix means? Huh? Happy. All right. With all thankfulness. But that I may not weary you with any further, I beg you to grant us, by your kindness, a brief hearing. For we have found this man, and this word here, this man here is a loimon, a loimon, loimon. That's the term, loimon. Loimon. That's it, loimon. That means a plague. A plague, a disease, a pestilence, a great catastrophe. This man is a low-down catastrophe. That's what he said. He is a basest person that you can think of. Now let's go on a little bit further. He's a pest. He's a disease. He's a plague. That's the first charge. He's a bad guy. Secondly, he and a fellow who stirs up dissension. Now, stirs up dissension. This word is a kinonto. 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 And then stasis. It's almost like in English. Kinonto sases. Kinonto means to shake and rattle. Okay? It means to like an earthquake. An earthquake shakes and rolls and rattles. It's like a storm in the sea that just shakes and rattles a ship and just breaks it in two. And he is a shaker and a mover, an earthquake, and that tears down foundations. That's stasis. This one comes from histomy. Stasis means foundation. He's a human earthquake. He's a low-down pest, pestilent, diseased, mind, horrible person that causes nothing but commotion and shaking and earthquakes that tears up the foundation of society. Now, in Greek, that's what he said. That's what they said. In Acts, 24th chapter. Now, let's go on and see a little bit more about this problem. He stirs up dissension among all the Jews throughout the world, the whole cosmos. And a ringleader of the heresies. Heresios. We got a word heresy right out of that word. Comes right out of Greek. He's a heretic. He's a heretic. Now, in other words, he's a heretic of the Nazarene sect. Now, Brother Bill, you asked me a question earlier. Right in the beginning of it, we're going to go into this right now. What is a heresy? What is a heresy? Brother Mike?
Someone who denies the fundamental truth of the gospel, maybe?
Somebody that denies the fundamental truth of who God is. Number one, this is what we call a cult or a heresy. He's a cult. He's from the cult of the Nazarenes. Now, in the Old Testament, now, Brother Bill, tell me about that. Could you read that scripture for me real loud that you read to me that you wanted me to explain to you?
Yeah.
The law. You have it down there someplace? Okay, well, I can read it, tell you. The law and the prophets were until John. Since then, the kingdom of God is preached. All right? The law and the prophets were until John. After that, the kingdom of God is preached. The law and the prophets, what law and prophets are we talking about? All the Old Testament prophecies about Jesus Christ is what it is. All the Old Testament prophecies that prophesied about Jesus Christ were until John the Baptist. After that, the king has come. And now the Jews that have accepted the Messiah have a brand new Old Testament. Because they can see the Old Testament, all of those prophecies that were dim and dark and dark rooms and foggy are now plain. Because Jesus is all of those prophecies. Hundreds of prophecies were fulfilled in Christ. Not only that, the Lamb of God. John says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." There he is. This is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The law and the prophets runs to John. After that, what? The kingdom of God is preached. And then in another place it said, "And the kingdom of God suffers violence." Remember that? Yeah. The kingdom of God suffers violence. Why is the kingdom of God suffering violence? The very thirst... violent act that they suffered was that the Jews had plotted against their king, had lied, had bribed. The Sanhedrin did this. The Pharisees did this. The Sadducees did this. The Herodians did this. All of these sects, the Levites did this. They bribed and demanded the death of Jesus Christ, their king. And what did Pontius Pilate say to them? I hope you understand that a whole lot better today. He wrote down, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." His finding in that court procedure was that Jesus is the King of Israel. Jesus of Nazareth is the King of Israel, and you are guilty of all the things that you have brought against him. Remember, in the law, if you brought false charges against somebody, whatever the penalty for that false charges was, you were to be executed. You were to be executed with whatever charges you brought against him. So, what should have happened to all the nation of Israel? They should have all been crucified, not Jesus. He turned the tables on them, and he said, I am innocent of this man's blood. And they said, let his blood be upon us and our children. So now we have a continuation of that right here. When you deal with Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, all of this, we have heresies. Those are heresies. These are what we call cults, because they've changed the person of God. The Jews did not want to accept that God would become flesh and dwell among mankind to redeem them. But that's what the lambs, that's what the goat, that's what the what we call the scapegoat, that's the doves. Doves, you know, when they went, the lepers, when they were cleansed, they brought two doves because that was the cheapest thing that you could buy for an offering, because a leper probably was a very poor man. And so he brought these two doves to announce his cleansing. Now, he's already cleansed. But they would take one dove with a bowl of running water, which they call living water. Jesus said, I am the living water. They take this bowl of water, and they would take this one dove, and he'd pinch his head off and hold him as his blood drained out into that water. And then they take the other dove, which represents you and me, and they dip him in that water, and then they turn him loose free. He was free. Your sins have gone free. They're gone. You're delivered from that. That's very beautiful. Very beautiful. Now, what did those doves represent? What did the dove that died represent? Jesus. All right. What did all the lambs and all the scapegoats and all the bulls and all the red heifers, what did all of them represent? Jesus. What did the what we call the grain offering represent? What did the grain offering represent when they offered the grain offering to God? That wave offering. It represented Jesus, the bread of life. All of this. And he was the blood that was poured out. He was the wine that was on the table of the Passover, what we call the Hasador. He was the wine that was there. He was, and there on that table was Elijah's place. They'd always, because Elijah was going to come. Malachi said Elijah was going to come before that great day. Several places in the Old Testament said Elijah would come. And they were always looking for Elijah to come because he was bringing in the kingdom, Brother Bill. Elijah would bring in the kingdom. Did Elijah come? John the Baptist. Who did Jesus say John the Baptist was? He said, indeed, he was Elijah. So Elijah came. And then Jesus, when he instituted the Lord's Supper, before the day of Pentecost, by the way, he instituted the Lord's Supper. He had his church there, and he took Elijah's cup after the supper was over, the Hasador, and he took the cup, and he looked at, and he showed Elijah's bread, the one bread that was for Elijah's plate, where they'd set his place. He'd take the bread, and he said, this is my body that is broken for you. He's the bread of life, isn't he? Is he the true manna that came out of heaven down to the earth? All of these things portray Jesus. That Old Testament becomes a brand new book to the Jews when they look at it with Jesus there. They broke that loaf, which represented Christ's whole body. Even the dove, when they pinched the dove's head off, they couldn't take the dove completely apart. They had to leave a piece of skin on him. It had to be a whole offering. You understand that? And they drain his blood in there, and then they take it and put it aside and burn that on the altar, and then they dip the other bird in there, which represents us, and then we're set free. Now, the Jews, instead of accepting the prophecies as fulfilled, wanted to kill anybody that disagreed with them, and they called Paul a heretic. A heresios. Heresios. Okay, now let's go on. We got up to here. Did that help you, Bill? All right. The law and the prophets are until John. That's it. Jesus established his church, by the way, Matthew 16 and 18. He said, you are Peter, but upon this gigantic rock, Peter means a stone, a little stone, but upon this gigantic rock I'll be building my church, and the gates of hell cannot wrestle her down. Matthew 16:18, he says, after you've been cast out, what do? You make disciples. What do with the disciples? You baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you teach them to guard with the lives all things I have given to you. And pay attention. Lo, I'm with you until when? The end of the age. Now, was Joseph Smith right when he said the church failed? No. Was Gardner Ted Armstrong wrong, or Herbert Armstrong when they said the gospel hadn't been preached for 1,800 years? What did Jesus say? That the church would be here until he came back. And then we have the seven churches of Asia in the book of Revelation, second and third chapter, that tell you the whole history of the church age. And what age do we live in today? The Laodicean age. It's a worthless church, isn't it? Read the description of that church. A lukewarm, worldly church. That's what he said was going to happen. That happen? Is it that way? Yes, it is. Lukewarm, worldly church. Worldlings. But you know what? It's going to be here until... And he says, hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. And it says there are some left in that church that are true to my name. Some left in that church that are true to my name. Is that true? Matthew 16:18. The gates of hell cannot prevail against her. She will be here until the end of this age. Therefore, they're all wrong. There's where you go at when you deal with Mormons, whatever. Now, here we are. Let's go back to Acts, the 24th chapter. Now, he's a heretic, they say. Now, the Roman government will allow religious freedom in their system. They allowed religious freedom. And Judaism was allowed. And they only had one way that they could... There's only one way that the Jews could kill somebody. What we call capital punishment was taken away from them in all other cases except for what?
Stoning.
What? What case? What simple thing? What horrible sin could they kill somebody?
Religious sin.
Huh?
Kathy?
What was it?
Adult.
If a Gentile walked into the temple area, they could be killed. Now, the charge they're going to bring against the Apostle Paul that he brought Gentiles into the temple area, and they wanted to kill him. And then when he was arrested, and we have the governor, Lysias there, Cassius Lysias, when he took him away from them for protective custody, because he's a Roman citizen, the number one person in Roman society was what? The number one person in Roman society.
Somebody who was born a Roman?
Was a Roman citizen. Roman citizen. And Paul was born a free Roman citizen. He didn't have to buy his... You remember, Lysias, he was named after the Caesar that freed him and gave him his citizenship. That's how he got his first name. Lysias was his last name. His first name was named after the emperor that gave him. So he had been given or awarded his citizenship, but Paul was born with it. So Paul is a high-born, very, very... They have to be protected. Roman citizens had to be protected. And so all this time, the Jews were trying to kill him, except what? This man, this apostle, just happened to be a Roman citizen. Do you think about that? Do you think that was a stroke of luck, Sharon?
That is God's plan.
That's God's plan. All right. That's the way God planned. God told him to go to Jerusalem, didn't he? But also the prophet said that he was going to be arrested there. And he will go through 2 years of this, by the way. This is going to stretch out for 2 years. So let's go see the rest of the story. Is this interesting? Mm-hmm. And then they're going to blame Lysias, the commander. They're going to blame him for not allowing them to kill Paul. That's the thing they're going to do right now in verse number 7. Wait, go back up to 6. And he even tried to desecrate the temple. Then we arrested him, and we wanted to judge him according to our law. And we were allowed to kill him right there. That was the only way that that they were allowed to capital punishment if they were caught in the very act. And they said that Paul took Gentiles in the church because he was preaching to the Gentiles. Remember what John Mark did? He left because he didn't like rubbing elbows with Gentiles. So he went back and went back to Peter and them. Now the Apostle Paul, when he was in Jerusalem the first time, when he went in there, he started preaching, didn't he? And a lot of the Jews did not accept him. A lot of the Christians did not accept him, the converts, because they were afraid of Paul, weren't they? Because he killed people. Paul was a killer of men. He was a killer of churches and destroyer of churches. And then he told Peter and James that I won't preach in Jerusalem anymore. You guys take that? And I will go to who? The Gentiles. So I will go to the Gentiles. So now he promised them he wouldn't preach. Now, is he preaching in Jerusalem this time? Did he preach here? No. Verboten. All right? It was forbidden. He let Peter and James take care of that. But Lysias, the commander, came along and with much violence took him out of our hands. He was bad. The commander, he was bad. He did the wrong thing. He should have let us kill him. We had our rights. 8, ordering his accusers to come before you, and by examining him yourself concerning all these matters, you will be able to ascertain the things of which we accuse him. And the Jews also joined in the attack, asserting that these things were so. Now, half of the witnesses, supposed to be witnesses, that came from, remember the Asian Jews from Ephesus and all these came over there for the big celebration in Jerusalem, and they came here and they started accusing Paul of telling people not to be circumcised. The Jews that were saved, don't be circumcised and all this. And of course he had circumcised Timothy, hadn't he? All right, he had circumcised him. Because Timothy, why did he circumcise Timothy? Why did Paul circumcise Timothy? You remember that, Joanne? Why did Paul circumcise Timothy? How about it, brother?
It had something to do with... He was preaching against it or something like that.
What? Why was it?
So he could go
into the synagogues and preach. Timothy was half Jew and his mother was Jew. So they considered him a Jew. If he wasn't circumcised because his father was Greek, he wasn't circumcised at the time because his family had become believers. But so Timothy could go into the synagogues with Paul and preach. He had him circumcised. And guess what? We look at this thing very, very bashfully today, but what did they do back then? Let's check you out. I mean, they did. They did that. You want to know how it happened? They did this. This is not our society today, but that's what they did back then now. Weird things back then, you know, different from what we are.
Also,
a lot different.
So he could go into the temple.
Yeah, well, he could go into the temple. He can go to any Jewish gathering. He could go into the temple or the synagogues. The local synagogues or the temple in Jerusalem, which he could do. Okay? And the Jews also joined in at the attack and saying these things were so. And they're lying. They're lying. They're religious liars. And when the governor had nodded for him to speak, Paul responded. Now, Paul's going to defend himself. And starting with verse number 10. Knowing that for many years you have been judged to this nation, I cheerfully make my defense. Now, Paul didn't butter him up too much, did he? All he said, you've been a judge. And I cheerfully defend myself. Now, this word defense there is apologuomai. What word do we get this apologuomai from? What do we get from this word? Do you remember this one, Bill? Apologuomai.
Is it attorney?
Attorney means that. Kind of does. Apologetics. We got a word apologetics right out of that word. Apologuomai. Apologetics. What do you do? Apologize. We had a word apologize to this. In other words, you make excuse. You answer. You give yourself. People, we're supposed to give an answer for what we believe, aren't we? We have to learn apologetics, Christian apologetics.
They said defense also.
That's right. It's defense.
Apologetics.
Yeah. Yeah. Apologetics. That means to defend. Verse number 11. Since you can take note of the fact that no more than 12 days ago I went up to Jerusalem to worship. Now let me tell you a little bit about what's going on here. Let me give you a little synopsis. Day 1, Paul arrived in Jerusalem. Acts 21, verse 17. Day 2, Paul met with James and the elders, 21:18. Okay? Day 3, in the temple with the Nazarites, Acts 21, 26. Day 4, in the temple. Day 5, in the temple. He was in the temple 3 days. That's 3 days to do this cleansing. Okay? Day 3, 4, and 5, they're in the temple. Day 6, he's arrested in the temple. Acts 21, verse 27, and they want to kill him because of false witnesses. They're going to kill him in church house. They're going to kill him in the church house, so to speak. Murder him there in the church house. Where did they arrest Jesus? Out there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they brought him right into the temple area in Jerusalem, right over to Pontius Pilate's hall. He's arrested in the temple day 7, 1 week. Met with the Jewish council, the Sanhedrin, Acts 23, 1 through 10. Day 8, threatened and taken to Caesarea, 23, 12 and 23. Day 9, arrived in Caesarea, Acts 23, 23. Day 10, waited, Felix sent for the Jewish leaders. Day 11, waited for the Jewish leaders to arrive. Day 12, waited, and then they arrived on the hearing schedule. Day 13, the hearing is conducted. That's the way it's going. Now, I hear Paul's been going to the ringer, hadn't he? The ringer. A lot of you people don't even know what the ringer means, do you? Young lady, did you ever wash clothes with
my mom did.
Oh, your mom did.
My first washing machine was that.
A ringer washing machine. I still have one. When I met Marilyn the first time, she was out there washing clothes with that ringer washer. It looked like a scared rabbit. Anybody come by, you know, strangers, you know. Still have that ringer washing machine, but I'm going to tell you something. Did you ever get anything caught in that ringer washing machine, Marilyn?
My sister did.
What did she have?
Her hand.
Got her hand caught. It hurts, doesn't it? Yeah. And where does it go? And the old ringer washing machine's all the way up to the end. People's arms have been pulled off.
Well, they had a release bar.
Yeah, but later they had a release bar. That one does. But the old ones didn't. They finally put a safety measure on the release bar where it pop open. Kathy, you know about those things? You know about them, don't you? All right, those are dangerous things, going through the ringer. When you go through the ringer, you're in a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. Getting your hair. Women have lost their hair. They got their hair caught in there, and this literally pulled their hair out of their head.
I know somebody that did.
Yep. All right. And neither in the temple, nor in the synagogues, nor in the city itself did they find me carrying on a discussion with anyone, causing a riot, because Paul had told James and Peter that he would not preach there, didn't he? This was an agreement with the church in Jerusalem that he wouldn't preach there, because these people didn't trust him, the church members didn't trust him, and the Jews didn't trust him. So he's not going to cause any trouble there. He said, I didn't do that. He didn't preach there. Nor can they prove to you the charges of which they now accuse me. But this I do admit to you, that according to the way, this is a Christian way, this is the way. That way there means according to the church, to the way, which they call a sect, a heresy, I do serve the God of our fathers, believing everything that is in accordance with the law and is written in the prophets. You get that, Brother Bill? This is a fulfillment. The law and the prophets were until when? The preaching of John. After that, the kingdom of God is preached. And the kingdom of God suffers violence. And people try to press themselves into it by unlawful means. And that's what these people are doing. Verse 15. Having a hope in God, which these men cherish themselves, that there certainly shall be a resurrection. Now Paul divided them again, didn't he? Because the Sadducees don't believe in a resurrection. Basically, the Sadducees are religious agnostics or atheists. The resurrection of both the righteous and of the wicked. There's going to be a resurrection. And in this view, because of this, I also do my best to maintain always a blameless conscience before God and before men. A blameless conscience. Blameless conscience. What does that mean, a blameless conscience? An unspotted consciousness. I have been blameless.
No guilt.
Paul says, I'm not guilty of any of these things. You know, people like... people like the Apostle Paul, teachers, pastors, and all of that, they're not their own. We're not our own. We are not our own, are we? Not even the church members are their own anymore. You're the Lord's. He said, I'm not my own. I must act in a different way. I must be blameless or conscious before God and before men. Now, after several years, I came to bring alms to my nation and to present an offering. He's coming back to his nation. Now, what did the Apostle Paul say? He said, I wish that I could be damned if all Israel could be saved. I would give my eternal soul if all Israel could be saved. Now, that's not being bad, boy, is it? That's not a low-down earthquake, is it, of a person? Not a heretic. In which they found me occupied in the temple, having been purified. He had been baptized, dipped, without any crowd or uproar, but there were certain Jews from Asia. Now, these are the Ephesian guys that killed him before, didn't they? This bunch killed him before, these Asian Jews. They'd stoned him to death. They tried every way in the world to get to Paul, and he just keeps on popping back up. He's like the cat that came back. Remember the old song, The Cat Came Back? The guy, the butcher took him, put him through the meat grinder, and the cat came back. He took him out and left him out in the desert, and the cat came back. That's the thing. This old cat keeps coming back. This is what the bad penny always comes back, you know. That's what Paul is. He just keeps coming back. We ought to have been present. Who ought to have been present before you and to make accusation if they should have anything against me. Now, what was Roman law? What did it say about this? These people accused him, didn't they? Where are they?
They're not there.
Now, according to Roman law, it is prosopone. That's a Greek word. Prosopone. Prosopone. What does that mean? Face to face. If you accuse somebody, you got to be there at the trial and face them face to face. And accuse them face to face. Because he's a Roman citizen. That's Roman law now. Verse number 20. Or else let these men themselves tell what misdeed they found when I stood before the Sanhedrin. Word council there, but that's the Sanhedrin. Where did Sanhedrin originate?
Jethro.
With Jethro, Moses' father-in-law. Other than for this one statement which I shouted out while standing among them, for the resurrection of the dead I am on trial before you this day. Now he did that and he divided them right there, the Sanhedrin. He divided the Sanhedrin because the Sadducees didn't believe that. Now, what else could Paul could have said to this governor? What else could he have done that would have condemned them and had them whipped? But he didn't do it. And sometimes, did you ever do something, you should have done something that you didn't do, and now you know later on it's too late? What happened over there in Jerusalem? What did the high priest say? Huh? What did he do? Slap his face. Can you slap a Roman citizen? You slap a Roman citizen, what happens to you? You can be crucified if you're not a Roman citizen. Paul didn't say that. He probably should have. This is put it, he probably should have said that. You ever, something like that ever happened in your life? You should have done this, you should have done that, you should have done this. Yeah, we can should have, we got all these should haves. But Felix, having a more exact knowledge of the way, put them off saying, when Lysias, the commander, comes down, I will decide your case. Now, Lysias, the commander, didn't need to come down, did he? Why? Why didn't Lysias need to come down?
He wrote the letter.
What?
He wrote the letter.
He wrote a letter, an official Roman document. Pontius Pilate's letter to Tiberius Caesar is an official Roman document. It stands to this day. It is an official Roman document, and it still stands to this day. That is a legal document. When Lysias wrote this legal document to the commander Felix here, he didn't have to show up. That's in writing. You didn't put anything in writing back then, a legal document, unless it was true, or else you could be crucified. And again, who was Pontius Pilate?
Tiberius' son-in-law.
All right? Which was the governor of all of this area, Judea. Verse number 23. And he gave orders to the centurion for him to be kept in custody, and yet plenty of freedom, actually, and not to prevent any of his friends from ministering to him. That word ministering there means what? You know what that one means, Sharon? You remember? Diaconia?
Serving, to serve.
Okay, doulos.
Do all the
that means things. To serve and to minister and to wash his feet and to bring him clothes and bring him food, to bathe him, all of this. But some days later, Felix arrived with Drusilla, his wife, who was a Jewess. Now Felix comes, and Drusilla, his wife, who is a Jewess, and sent for Paul and heard him speak about the faith in Christ Jesus. Here we have Festus. Festus is, his name means festival. What's the Spanish word for a name of a guy that means festival, feast? You remember that?
Yes.
Zenon. Zenon. Zenon means a big feast, doesn't it? Big dinner, big feast. All right. Festival. Zenon. Zenon. All right, here we have this. And we're going to run into Agrippa later on and Bernice. Let's go on a little bit further now. Now he's under house arrest, basically, but he's got plenty of freedom. Here comes Felix with his wife, Drusilla, who is a Jewish, and sent for Paul and heard him speak out about the faith in Christ Jesus. And as it was discussing righteousness and self-control and judgment, and look at all this now. Now, we know that this woman is a descendant of Herod. She's one of the family. She's one of the Herod families. And what are they? Some of the Herods married into the Jews. Some of the Herodians, they were Esau bunch. And some of them married into the Jews. So she's from some Jewish side of that family. And she's a descendant of all these people that killed Jesus. Or had tried to kill him. You know, Herod the Great and all of them. And he was discussing righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come. Now look at this righteousness. What is righteousness? He's talking to her about all the cleansing and all the different things and what is and self-control and the judgment to come. And then Felix became frightened because he was why? Why did he become frightened? Why did he become shaking in his boots?
I think he's convicted.
He's convicted. God's convicting him of sin. Okay? And he said, go away for the present time. When I find time, I will summon you. Remember this? This many times. This is not convenient for me now. I'll get saved later. You ever heard that before? Not convenient. He never did it. This is putting off salvation. Putting off salvation is what? Walking through the doors of hell. Putting off salvation, that's what it is. I'll call you when I have fine time and call you back later. Have you ever talked to somebody and said, I don't want to be saved right now. I'll be saved at my own time. Their own time? Can you be saved on your own time? How do you get saved? By the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Was the Holy Spirit convicting this rascal right here? God was touching his soul. Today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Not some other time. You don't get saved on your own time. You get saved when the Holy Spirit convicts you. At the same time, too, he was hoping that money would be given to him by Paul. Look at this. Sticky fingers. Sticky fingers. Therefore, he also used to send him for him quite often and converse with him. And after 2 years, Do you see what this is? This is 2 years. 2 years. 2 whole years Paul's put up with this now, with these conniving Jews. But after 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus. Now, this isn't Gunsmoke's Festus. Okay? Remember Gunsmoke and Festus? Remember old Festus? Boy, he could sing. Never, you know, he had those spurs, jingle, jangle, all the time, and kind of an old sloppy hat on him, everything. This isn't the Festus on Gunsmoke, okay?
And Rufus Mule. I always loved Rufus Mule.
Yeah, and his mule. Yeah. Festus and his mule and all of his family from the hills, you know. Festus, wishing to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul imprisoned. Chapter number 25. Festus, therefore, having arrived in the province, 3 days later went up to Jerusalem from Caesarea. Now, where's Paul imprisoned?
Caesarea.
Guess where the first Gentile church was? Caesarea. So he's got plenty of church members around there to take care of him, doesn't he? Isn't that nice? He's got church members within beckoning call. I need something. I need a coat. I need a piece of paper to write on, whatever, you know. And he's preaching. There, he's preaching. He can preach in Caesarea. There's the first Gentile church. And what was the guy's name that got saved there? Cornelius. And the chief priests and the leading men of the Jews brought charges against Paul, and they were urging him. They're still after him, aren't they? Does the devil ever take a vacation? Does he ever take a vacation?
No.
He's always on time. Right there. Requesting a concession against Paul, that he might have him brought to Jerusalem. Now look at this. These are religious people. They know what they're doing. These people have rejected the law of God. They have rejected the law of God, not Paul. They have rejected the law and the teaching of the Old Testament. They know they're wrong. But boy, are they dead set against evil, aren't they? To brought to Jerusalem at the same time setting an ambush to kill him on the way. Murderers. Was the Sanhedrin that convicted Jesus and demanded that Pontius Pilate, were they murderers, all murderers? Pontius Pilate said they were. Festus then answered that Paul was being kept in custody at Caesarea, but he himself was about to leave shortly. Verse number 5. And therefore he said, let the influential men among you go there with me, and if there is anything wrong about the man, let them prosecute him. And after he had spent no more than 8 or 10 days among them, he went down to Caesarea, and on the next day he took his seat at the tribunal and ordered Paul to be brought forth. What do you think Paul's doing all this time? While he's in prison. He's not in a prison. He's in a house arrest where he's chained to a soldier. What do you think he's doing to all these soldiers?
Preaching.
Making converts. The Lord's used him, isn't he? Even under these terrible circumstances. And after he had arrived, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood around him, bringing many serious charges against him, which they could not prove. What happens in the Old Testament under the law, under their own law, if they bring charges against somebody that they can't prove, and what is the charge, what is the penalty for the charge is death, they are supposed to be put to death. And the Sanhedrin is supposed to be made up of what? Men that can't be bought. Men that are righteous. Are these righteous? Are they upright? Truthful? Nothing. Zero. The F minus for everything.
So the Sanhedrin would be the one that would bring the charges against the Jews that brought false charges against people.
That's right.
Not the Roman government.
No.
Okay.
The Roman government.
They don't really care.
Not until we got a bad emperor, a bad Caesar, did we get rid of Paul. Remember who was the one? Who was this emperor that condemned Paul? Nero. Nero was a bad boy. Tiberius protected the churches. Because Tiberius was a believer. Tiberius wrote to the Roman Senate and asked them to accept, of course they had plenty of gods, they just accept Jesus as a god. Because the Bible says that he was God in the flesh, didn't it? And the Jews against the temple are against Caesar. While Paul said in his own sense, I have committed no offense either against the law of the Jews or against the temple or against Caesar. Now verse number 9, Festus. Now what does Festus mean?
Festival.
Festival. All right. A big dinner. All right. Just like Zeno in Espanol. And Festus, wishing to do the Jews a favor, answered Paul and said, are you willing to go to Jerusalem and stand trial before me on these charges? Now, what's going to happen on the way to Jerusalem? They're going to kill him. Now, Paul knows that he's going to go to Rome, doesn't he? How does Paul know he's going to go to Rome, Brother Bill? How does Paul know he's going to go to Rome?
How does Paul know because he's a Roman citizen?
No, how did he know he's going to go to Rome? You remember? Just, yes,
it's
sure.
Here in red.
It's written right there in red. What does it say?
Take courage as you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must testify in Rome.
All right. You've testified me in Jerusalem. You're going to testify to me of me in Rome. And who's speaking?
Jesus.
Jesus spoke to him in a hypnotic trance and says, you're going to testify of me in Jerusalem and also in Rome. So Paul knows he's going to Rome, doesn't he? Now, how does Paul buy his ticket to Rome? That's just in a minute we're going to find out. We're going to find out how Paul buys his ticket to Rome. But Paul said, I am standing before Caesar's tribunal where I ought to be tried. He's a Roman citizen, isn't he? And I have done no wrong to the Jews, as you also very well know. If then I am a wrongdoer and have committed anything worthy of death, I do not refuse to die, but if none of these things is true of which these men accuse me, no one can hand me over to them. I appeal to Caesar. Can a Roman citizen do that? Where do they go when you appeal to Caesar? He bought his ticket to Rome. That's what happened. He bought his ticket to Rome. Is this interesting? You like this story? Can you see it just taking place? 2 years he's in Caesarea. And when Festus had conferred with his council, he answered, you have appealed to Caesar you shall go. There's your ticket. You're going to have a boat ticket. And now when several days had elapsed, King Agrippa and Bernice, look at Agrippa. Agrippa, what in the world does Agrippa mean? King Agrippa. It comes from Agri and Hippos. Agri and Hippos, Agrippa. That means a bronc buster. A wild horse trainer. That's what he is, he's bronc buster. That's what Agrippa means, bronc buster. And Bernice means, the modern name for Bernice would be Victoria. Victorious, okay? What's the Spanish name for
Berenice.
Berenice, all right. Paid their respects to Festus. Agrippa and Bernice arrived in Caesarea and paid their respects to Festus in a pompous ceremony, by the way. They always did everything with great pomp and circumstance. And while they were spending many days there, Festus laid Paul's case before the king, saying, there is a certain man left a prisoner by Felix. And when I was in Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders, who are these chief priests? That's Arche. The head priests. These are the high priests. These are the big shots. And the elders of the Jews brought charges against him, saying for a sentence of condemnation upon him. They wanted him dead. This is the Sanhedrin, what we're talking about. Sanhedrin was made up of 23 priests. All right? 23 scribes and 23 elders and one high priest. 70. And I answered them that it is not the custom of the Romans to hand over any man before the accused meets his accusers prosopon, face to face. And they wouldn't come, would they?
No.
And has an opportunity to make the defense against the charges. And so after they had assembled here, I made no delay, but on the next day took my seat on the tribunal and ordered the man to be brought. And when the accuser stood up, they kept on bringing charges against him, not of such crimes as I was expecting, but that simply that had some points of disagreement about him and about their own religion and about a certain dead man, Jesus, whom Paul asserted to be alive. And being at a loss how to investigate such matters, I asked whether he was willing to go to Jerusalem there and stand trial on these matters. But when Paul appealed to be held in custody for the emperor's decision, I ordered him to be kept in custody, and I sent him to Caesar until I send him to Caesar. And Agrippa said to Festus, I also would like to hear the man myself tomorrow, mañana. What does mañana mean?
Tomorrow.
What does it literally mean?
The day after today.
What does it literally mean? Look it up in etymology, some other time. Some other time. Tomorrow. All right. Mañana. This one guy, I knew this one guy, and he had this one Hispanic guy working for him, and he'd always say, mañana, I'll do it mañana, mañana. Every day it was mañana, mañana, mañana. And he said, what's the matter with you? Keep lying to me. And he said, no, mañana means some other time. Some other time. Okay. Paul before Agrippa. And so on the next day, when Agrippa had come together with Bernice, amid a great pomp and circumstance, he entered the auditorium accompanied by all the commanders and the prominent men of the city. At the command of Festus, Paul was brought in. And Festus said, King Agrippa, and all you gentlemen here present with us, you behold this man about whom I, all the people, the Jews, appealed to me, both at Jerusalem and here, loudly declaring that he ought not to live any longer. They wouldn't want him dead. But I found that he had not committed anything worthy of death. Since he himself appealed to the emperor, I decided to send him. Yet I have nothing definite about him to write to my lord. Who's my lord? The emperor. He said, I don't have anything. There aren't any charges against this man. The man's guiltless. He's nothing wrong. He hadn't done anything wrong. Everybody that Paul was brought before was a rat. Agrippa, Bernice, Felix, all of these people, they were all adulterers and adulteresses and murderers and liars. And Paul said, I'm what? I'm innocent. And remember, Felix was convicted. Agrippa has got a problem. Therefore, I brought him before you, and especially before you, King Agrippa, so that after the investigation has taken place, I may have something to write to Caesar. For it all seems absurd to me, sending a prisoner, not to indicate also what the charges are. The charges they brought against him are nothing. They're lies. How can I send him? And they wanted him. And Paul kept saying, send me to Caesar. Why did he say, send me to Caesar? Because Jesus said, you need to go to Rome. If he went any other direction, they were going to murder him. But he's going to go to Caesar. How many people protected him this far? You remember how it was? 70 horsemen, 200 men here, 200 men there, 200 spearmen. Hundreds of men protected him to get him to Caesarea alive. Because these people are dead set on killing him.
Brother,
yes.
This version says, I find it ridiculous to send a prisoner to Rome when I can specify any charges against him.
Yeah. It's ridiculous to send him to Rome when there are no charges against this man. Mm-hmm. There are no charges against him. We'll start with chapter 26 next week. Do you have any questions? Yes. Hold on, Bill. Yes.
Agrippa is a Herod Agrippa, right?
What?
The King Agrippa is a Herod.
He's part of that family.
Okay.
King Agrippa is part of the family.
Okay.
Anything? Yes. All right.
How were they and why were they able to hold Paul for so long without any real charges? How?
He was under protective custody.
Oh.
I mean, you remember why Herod held John the Baptist? He was under protective custody because his wife wanted him dead. All right?
So it wasn't really prison.
He's under protective custody. Oh, okay. And he has absolute full freedom of people to come and minister to him, okay? Thank you for your attention today, and go out and do something eternal.